and welcome to episode 99 of Tabletop Game Talk, the Kickstarter edition. This is the part of the week where we talk about the Kickstarter games we're backing, might back, and have already received and played. I'm one of your hosts, Kitty.
And I'm Chris. And this week, I'm backing Cthulhu, Death May Die. Kitty, you backed Camping with Sasquatch. We're watching Miramarsh, Edible Games Cookbook, Playing with Your Food, Disastles, which I'll get to in a second, The Abandons, and we're going to do a review of The Networks with the Executives expansion that is not out yet, but I got a chance to play it, so we're going to review it anyway.
Ooh.
I know. And we're in the same room.
We're really in the same place. It's so exciting.
This is foreshadowing. Foreshadowing for what? I don't know. But for now, we are sitting across from each other, and it is exciting. We're in your new house with a whole bunch of boxes.
Yep.
But you, last time we talked, you had a bunch of boxes in your old house.
It's true.
And now they're on the new house.
Yep. We've made progress.
Yeah. All right. Not too bad. Next time I come over, though, I would like to see this place a little bit cleaner. Thank you very much.
We'll work on it just for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Games we're backing. Today, I was doing the Kickstarter notes.
And in a move that surprised no one in the world.
None whatsoever. But surprised me. Sort of. So it's 2 o'clock on a Tuesday. This is going to drop on Friday. So we're actually recording this like 3 days early, but 4 days, 3 days, 3 days. I don't know. A number of days early. And this is pertinent because Cthulhu Death May Die went active on Kickstarter on July 10th, 2 p.m. Central Time, which is the exact time where I'm like, oh, I should go see if there's any Kickstarters. So I'm going through it, and then I remember, it's like, oh, Cthulhu is coming out today. I wonder if it's released yet. And I clicked a button, and it was right there, and it was 17 backers. I'm like, that's weird. This should have a lot more backers. I hit refresh, and there's like 87 backers, like within seconds. I scroll down, and this particular Kickstarter teaser video for this is talking about a Cthulhu miniature, which is not a miniature. It's a Cthulhu megature. It is 57 centimeters tall. Which, if I'm doing my math correctly, is about 22 inches. So almost 2 feet tall.
Yeah, just about, I think.
Which is insane. But they had a limited release where only the first 250 people could pledge at that level. Now, remember, I saw 17 people. And then refresh, there was 87 people. But when I scrolled down, the 250 limit had already been reached. It was like already sold out. So I don't know who they're selling this to, because at the time, there weren't enough backers to use all those pledges, so I think there's something fishy with CMON.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that didn't stop me from backing it, though. So, Cthulhu Death May Die. This game, we talked about in the last episode, this game is going to be amazing. It is Rob Davio, designer of Pandemic Legacy, all the Legacy games, all the Restoration games, all of that stuff. And Eric Lang, designer of a ton of cool stuff, yep. Cool Mini or Not stuff, Blood Rage.
Rising Sun,
Arcadia Quest. Those two designers come together with a Kickstarter run by CMON. It's $100 gets you the base and pretty much all the extras. At the time of recording, they didn't have any stretch goals on there yet. This thing is going to be insane, though. Like, I wouldn't I'm be sure. surprised if this just breaks all of the CMON records, at least. So I'm excited about this one. It is only a 14-day Kickstarter. So it's not a 5-day Kickstarter like their last one. It's not a 30 or 28-day Kickstarter like normal.
Normal,
it's just 2 weeks. So if you want to back this, check it out. It ends July 24th. It's $100 for the base pledge. And by the time you look at this, based on our advice, you are probably going to see a bunch of add-ons that you can add on top of that. This one's great. Like I said, I saw it played. I haven't played it myself, but I saw demos of it. The idea is awesome. It's not a legacy game. It's not a campaign game. It's a mix and match scenario and Elder God so that you can kind of play through it co-op and just kind of play your own, the scenario you want to play. But during the game, you can develop your characters, your investigators.
Yeah, I listened to last week's episode where you and Sydney described it. It sounds very cool. I'm excited to play your copy.
I can't wait. And I will bring it over with all of the exclusives except for the 2 foot tall Cthulhu.
Maybe I'll come to your place.
Yeah. I'm going to try to get the 2 foot tall Cthulhu. I don't know how that's going to happen, but I'm going to try.
I'm excited to see this maneuvering to get there.
It is the game board. Like the statue is its own scenario.
Oh my gosh.
So you put it down and then its base is the board.
That's crazy.
So you
that
have all these,
really cool.
Yeah, you have all these investigators that are running around at the feet of Cthulhu, and that is like the entire scenario is just running around at his feet and trying to kill him. He's an elder god, you're probably going to lose.
Sounds like fun, I guess.
All right, well, let's talk about something nicer then.
All right, I backed Camping with Sasquatch, a card game with a roar. Rummy meets Slapjack in this game of quick reaction, set collection, and a bit of take that. A happy, slappy 10 to 20 minute game. Yeah. This looks like so much fun. I don't know if you looked at the art on this. It's very cartoony. It's Camping with Sasquatch. He's, you know, a kind of Harry and the Hendersons type Sasquatch monster. He's eating s'mores, going fishing, swimming in an inner tube.
Is there an upgrade to get this little Sasquatch book?
Yes. So you can get it in the monster box, the Ghost Story Monster Box, for $27. The base game is only $15. I actually backed two games this week because I'm turning into you.
Thank you very
much. So I didn't back at the monster box because honestly, it just would make it difficult to fit on my shelf. Although it is really cool looking.
But they also have little baby chick pirates that are hunting. I don't know what they're for, but they're adorable.
Because Lethal Chicken Games is the publisher on this.
This is fantastic. This is a baby chick, like just a little yellow baby chicken, with a pirate patch and a scar over the pirate patch eye, with a ammo belt, I believe.
I think they're grenades.
With grenades on it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the Lethal Chicken logo. And you can get some Lethal Chickens to go with your Camping with Sasquatch game if you back. I think it's like a retailer level you have to back to get the Lethal Chicken.
I'm all in for the Lethal Chicken. Oh, there's so many cute little chickens. Okay, so how does this game play?
So it's a set collection. You want to get three of the same kind of card or three unique cards, and you're collecting the most. And you have Sasquatches, which you can play as a wild card or as an attack card, which triggers a sort of battle. And it looks really fun. This is so much fun art, and it reminds me of a game that I would have played when I was 12 with my sister and all my friends in a friend's basement. We used to play Slapjack and Egyptian Rat Screw and all those kind of games, and this just looks kind of in that vein, and the art looks so fun and happy, and I just thought it would look great.
I love the s'mores card. It's marshmallows with one of them has fire on his hair, because that's really how you bake s'mores, is set your marshmallow on fire and then burnt chocolate. Sounds good.
Not
It's how I make s'mores.
Slowly toast them until they're just delightfully golden brown.
Okay, fine. When? How long does this game last?
This goes until July 17th, which is Tuesday, a week from today as we record. So you've got just a few more days after the episode drops. I think I need to tweet about this. I got yelled at for picking too many Kickstarters that were too close to their dates. But I've been looking at this. I almost put it on the last episode I was on, like, 3 weeks ago, and I was like, oh, this has time, but I didn't realize I was gonna get kicked off by Josh and then Sydney.
That girl.
I know.
Well, tweet it out.
I will.
That is Camping with Sasquatch. Now, you said you backed another one this week?
Are
we waiting to talk about that?
We can talk about one of yours first, and I'll just give it a quick mention.
Okay. So I'm gonna talk about Miramarsh. Now, Miramarsh is kind of a silly name, I think, but it is. You're playing a goblin.
I thought it was Miramarsh, looking at it. So.
Well, I mean, if you wanted to pronounce it the way the English speak, yes. If you wanted to completely just rearrange the letters in your head and say the words that you wanted to say, you'd say Mir, but it is spelled M-I-R-E, so it would Miramarsh. Well, Miramarsh is a game where you play goblins, and you're attempting to complete evil deeds so that you can become the next goblin king. So it's kind of funny. It's like, you can go kidnap kids or kill a unicorn or, you know, go bother some adventurers. Like, these things, all of these things you can do. It looks like a relatively straightforward game. Like, there's tiling, there's level one tiles, level two tiles, level three tiles. And each of the different goblins, there's a bunch of unique ones, have stats that are colored dice. So there's 20-some unique, well, not all unique, but 20-some custom dice in the game. There would be, like, black ones, green ones, white ones, whatever the case is. And that is your stats. So you're rolling your dice to try to accomplish different things on whatever tile you happen to flip up. If you roll a tentacle, that's bad because it starts pulling you into the marsh, and that's eventually you could possibly die. If you die, then you lose all your loot. You get to start with a new character, but now anybody can come by and pick up all the loot that you had because you are evil goblins, by the way. It looks kind of fun. The goblins themselves are worth it alone to me, and I don't know why, because it's not like I don't have enough miniatures, but these goblins are like really, really cool looking. Sort of a theme of Kickstarter. They have really cool minis.
Oh, who would have guessed that a Kickstarter with cool minis? I saw this today when I was looking through Kickstarter, and I thought, if this does not show up in Chris's list today, I'm going to have to send it to him for next week.
Yeah, because I either missed it, or you just don't really know me, do you?
I knew you this time.
yes, you did. So this one looks great. It does go till July 30th, so you have some time. The base game is $60. You can get the base game with an expansion for $99, and there's actually a couple different expansions to choose from, and then you can get everything for $132, and that is Meyer Marsh, not Mere Marsh.
All right, so I have a couple games I'm going to talk about here, but on a theme.
Okay.
So the first one, I did back this. It's just a $3 print and play called the Carroll County Cake Swap. And you are competing to decorate the best cake. You want the most layers with, I think, the best matches in flavors with the colors of frosting. And it's for $5, you get the print and play plus 60 stickers. And it just looked really cute. And I kind of wanted to keep an eye on it because I thought maybe in the future they might put out an actual copy of the game. But for now, it's just the print and play.
So I think that's kind of cool. It's like they're selling stickers, but they're bringing attention to the print and play.
Yes. And then you can, for $60, get a hard copy of the demo version.
So they print it out and cut it out for you.
Apparently. You also get the PDF files and stickers if you do that.
And what's that game again?
It is called the Carroll County Cake Swap.
That sounds good. It
looks like a kind of Great British Bake Off style cake game.
And when is it over?
It is over. Let me look. I didn't put this in. It only has 3 days to go, so it's done by the time this is.
So you have to go to the webpage, click on Late Backer, and most of these things do have pledge managers, so oftentimes you can do late. But Kitty, by the time you've heard this, she's already tweeted on it. By the way, you can follow Kitty at Lawful Good Mom on Twitter.
I'm a lawful good mom. What can I say?
Yep.
All right. But what I'm actually watching is the Edible Games Cookbook, Play With Your Food. And this is a beautiful cookbook of a dozen tabletop games you really eat. And this looks so much fun. It is an actual cookbook where you can bake as much or sometimes as little as you want. They have the recipe, so you can, if you're playing a game with cookies, you can bake the cookies, or they have you can just play this with Oreos, or you can use the page on the book instead of making the cookie board. So, but they have a sample chapter out there so you can read the directions for one of the games, and it looks really fun. It's kind of a chess style where you want to capture one of the squares, and when you capture it, you get to eat the cookie, and then you rearrange the board with the other cookies. So you're trying to capture one of the colors of cookies, and they have dozens of recipes of different games, of everything from cookies to fruit. One of the things it said was there are some where you try to eat something gross and keep a straight face. And it looks really cool.
So it is a recipe book of not only recipes, but actually games to play with the recipes.
Yes.
That is also really cool. See, I don't look at these things. I don't find this stuff. It won something. It's the winner of the IndieCade 2016 Interaction Award, apparently, the Edible Games accolades. There's like the snake game. There's slicing up vegetables and playing games with vegetables. This gives new, well, literal opposite meaning to don't play with your food.
Right? It's literally playing with your food.
I think if you are a family and you want kids to eat their vegetables, or actually there's a lot of desserts in this thing too, right. Or eat the dessert because you're having a hard time getting them to do that, then this is what you want to do. This is Candyland with like carrots and celery.
Yep.
All right.
It looked awesome. Really fun. It's $25 for a digital copy of the book, $60 for the hardcover, and you have a while on this one. I got ahead of it. So it is. It ends July 20th.
Awesome. And hopefully it backs. It's really, really close, though. So
it is very close.
It should back. All right. Is it my turn again?
It is your turn again.
Oh, let's see. What do I want to talk about? I'm going to talk about, and so pronunciation is this just the things I make up.
I'm excited to hear you because I'm not sure on this one.
All right. So think about castles, think about disasters, and it's disastles.
I think you're right this time.
Yes.
I'm giving it to you because I don't know how I would have said it otherwise.
It is a game of castles, clashes, and catastrophes. So this game here is, it's really just a deck of cards. And we've had a theme lately going on where it's like we are kind of highlighting like super indie developers. Someone just put a game on Kickstarter, kind of what Kickstarter is meant for. Then we have the big games too with all the miniatures in this. This is...
I was going to say on an episode, were you back to CMON game?
Yeah. So we got to balance it out, right?
Yes.
So this one is a guy created this. It's a card game. And the art on this is actually really, really good. And that's actually what he's trying to do is raise money to finish the art. The way this game plays is it's incredibly simple. You're going to take out all of the disaster cards. There's 24 disaster cards. You're going to take 6 of them randomly out. And then you're going to shuffle all of the other cards together. And you're going to put 5 of them up. You're going to count out, he says about 20, but I'm going to say 20. And you're going to take that off the stack. Then you're going to shuffle into the disaster cards, the 6 that you took out, into the rest of the deck. And you're going to put those 20 back on top. So what that basically means is you have cards in front of you, just basically the marketplace kind of drafting area. And you have at least 20 cards before you start getting disasters. You'll draft a card and you'll connect it to your throne room. We both have throne rooms. And you're just going to place it anywhere in your castle. It starts with your throne room, but you're going to branch off of them. I will take a card and do the same thing. So essentially on your turn, you can do 2 things. You can draft a card or you can activate one of your castle rooms. Actually, you can do 3 things. Or you can activate one of your castle rooms or you can move rooms. So you can like swap some rooms. The different cards have connections though so you can't like connect something to an outer wall. The connectors have to work.
Okay.
And if they have the same type of connector, then they become a stronger connection. So when a disaster happens, a disaster may come up and it has, 3 triangle damage. Well, if you don't have 3 rooms that connect via triangles, you're going to take a damage. And for each damage you take, you have to remove a room from your castle. If ever you have to remove your throne room, you're done. And you lose and the other person wins. And that's disasters. It looks really cool. Now, this one is pretty cheap. It's only $23. And he's gotten enough on his stretch goals. Actually, this has been really, really well received. He blew away all of his stretch goals. So it was just going to be like a cardboard box of cards, like just a regular card box. But now it's going to be in a nice sturdy box. There should be other stretch goals up by the time this drops because I ran out of stretch goals, but I have something planned. So we're going to add some more stuff. And like I said, the art on this looks really, really cool. I'm looking forward to this one. This might actually be... That's typically because of my one game per week thing. I always pick something that is like big and grandiose. I might back a $23 game in the near future.
Whoa.
I know.
That's big. That sounds like something I would do.
Maybe I might get you to back a $23 game in the future.
You already got me to back Ephemeris, which was more than my $22.
Oh, did you back that one?
I did back it. I didn't do the tablecloth level though.
Okay.
You missed out on the tablecloth because you didn't back it. But I did. I did do the base game.
I'm glad I made you back it. So that's Ephemeris. You can listen to us talk about that one 3 episodes ago.
I think it was 96.
96?
So 3.
All right. One of the cool bonuses for all the Kickstarter episodes is you can look at the show notes and I have links to everything we ever talk about. So if you're ever curious, just go look at those links. But what I just got done talking about before we went off on a tangent was Disastles. It goes until July 31st. It's $23. It looks cool. Your turn.
All right. So I was looking at The Abandons, a solo labyrinth escape game. A solitaire game of labyrinth escape. Portable, simple to learn, and unique each time you play. So I didn't do a deep dive into this one, but I really liked the concept and the art. So I just threw it on here because I wanted to remind myself to go check it out a little bit more later. but it looks like you've got tiles that you're building a path. You start in a locked room and you have to get out of the labyrinth, and you earn points by holding on to items instead of spending them and taking the longer paths sometimes instead of the shorter ones. But there's a kind of press your luck element to it where if you get a dead end, that's it.
Yep. This one, I did take a close look at this one. The reason I didn't talk about this one was because it was really cheap. So I'm like, I can't talk about too many games that are too cheap. I might end up having to back them. But this one is cool. I think you would like it. It is purely a solo game.
Just solo, which I really like because sometimes I do have a hard time getting somebody to play with me and I just want to play a game. Yeah.
And it's one of those things where it's just a deck of cards. So it's almost as difficult as playing a solitaire game. You have a deck of cards. You have a start tile and then you shuffle the cards. And as you lay them out, you make choices. Some doors you go through, you're going to have to discard cards. So you like burn cards because it requires more cards to go through them or whatnot. This one looks interesting. If you're looking for just a quick, simple, easy dungeon crawl, this is not a bad choice.
Something nice to solo. You have a while to back this one. It ends August 2nd, and it's only $13.
Yeah, that's why $13. Whatever.
Yeah, you could back like 5 $13 games.
I could. I think next year what I'm going to do is I'm going to... Oh, my God. I just almost said I was going to put a budget on it, and then I took that back right away. No. Nope.
Sydney, are you listening? Sydney, he almost said it. We've almost got him there.
Nope. Not doing it. Whew. We saved ourselves. That is the abandons. All right. I am going to review something now. You don't have anything else to talk about?
I don't.
Okay. So... I was going to talk about this on the last episode because this was something that Sydney and I played at Dice Tower Con. And we even said we were going to say it in the segue and then didn't say it. So if you follow along and you're like, wait a minute, you never talked about this game that you promised we talk about. Well, I'm doing it now. This is The Networks with the Executives expansion. Now, The Networks is a game that's existed for a couple years now. It was designed by Gil Hova of Formal Ferret Games. This is kind of his evergreen game that... You know, if it's gotten a lot of buzz, he's able to sell a lot of copies, and he, you know, now has a game company, which is great. He also has Wordzy, which we've talked about and played
many
in the
times.
Past. Yep. So recently, actually, whenever we backed it, he came out with an expansion to this called The Executives. Now, I've never played The Networks before, so when I backed The Executives, of course, I backed the base game, and I got the base game a couple weeks ago because we early delivered that, but The Executives is actually coming out a couple weeks from now. But he had a copy at Dice Tower Con, and Sydney and I ran into him, and he's like, oh yeah, come back and we'll play with The Executives. This makes The Networks really, really cool. Now, I've never played The Networks by itself. So The Networks is a game where you are taking control of a fledgling TV station. Kind of, you remember Weird Al and UHF?
Oh, yeah.
That's basically what you're doing. So you have a TV station and you have time slots. So it would be 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and 10 o'clock. And what you're attempting to do is buy shows, pay actors, not necessarily buying the actors, but you're paying hiring actors, or getting ads, and the ads will pay you. So you slot the shows into different time slots. You can add actors or ads to them if the shows allow you to, because sometimes you don't. Some of them require, like you can't get this show unless you have an actor already that you can slot with it. You can't have this show unless you have an ad that you can put on it. So, and then you put your little cube on season one. After the first round where you're drafting all these cards, then you're going to get a number of viewers. And season one is usually the most amount of viewers, usually. But if you didn't place it in the show's preferred time slot, you're going to get less. So every show has a preferred time slot. Season two will give you viewers, oftentimes a couple more if it was a successful show. And then seasons three and four tend to drop off really fast. So if you keep the show around for too long, it's like not giving you any points.
Yeah.
Right. So you want to replace the show before it goes down, but you also have to pay your actors. You're trying to make sure that all your ads are paying for all your income. There's some special cards and such. And what you're trying to do is get the most viewers by the end of season five. So you're going through five seasons. That is fun by itself. And like I say, very successful. But there's a lot of choices you can make. What shows, what actors, what ads. There's also these special ability cards you can draft. There's also mogul cards. So if you get three of the same kind of show, it's really just a sandbox of choices. What the executives does is say, now you have an executive, and that executive is going to give you some special powers and a drawback. And really what it does is it helps you guide your strategy for what you're doing and lets you focus on like a strategy right out of the gate.
All right. So this reminds me a little bit of our asymmetrical games conversation, where it gives you a little bit of focus the way something in Terraforming Mars, or
just like the corporations in Terraforming Mars.
Yes. What was the other game where we talked about whether or not it was with the races?
Oh, Scythe was another one that we talked about.
A galaxy, space, their
cosmic
aliens.
Encounter that cosmic you like encounters. To forget about all the time.
Yes. I don't like it because I hate negotiating. But if you do like negotiating, it's a great game.
Yes.
I will give it that. It's just not my cup of tea. But it seems along that same lines, where it gives a little bit of an asymmetric spin to a game where it just kind of focuses you, not something where it gives you a huge advantage disadvantage.
Right. And what's interesting is there are a lot of executives in this. I want to say something in the 20-ish executives, and they are pretty different in their ability. So I played an executive where all of my shows could have an extra star on it, which was huge because stars give you additional viewers. And now I can just put stars wherever I want, where other shows, other players can't put this many stars out there. But then there were cards where, like, Sydney got to choose to draw, like, I think she could choose 3 ads and 3 stars and just pick one randomly to keep, you know? So every round she could do something like that.
She got more choices.
Right. So she got more choices and could get something for free. There was other ones that changed how you'd get the, like, the superpower mogul cards. It's like, oh, well, normally you only get one if you have 5 of the same thing, but you can get 2. The first one you get at 4 and the second one you get at 6. So there's those kind of things that feel pretty balanced. We played a 4-player game and it didn't feel like any of us were running away. I was in the lead the entire time until the very last scoring, where I came in dead last. So there's a lot of push and pull, and you're like, never know what's going to happen. I really, really liked this game.
Interesting.
So I'm going to give this a big old thumbs up.
All right.
It's on our 4-point rating scale. It's a thumbs up. So one of these days we'll actually come up with whether or not we're ever going to rate games. But I will say liked it.
All right. Excited for your copy to show up.
Yep. Now, I was told that I could pick it up at Gen Con. I'm like, why would I do that? I have a whole bunch of other things to buy at Gen Con, and you're going to ship it to me regardless. So I'll just do that. But also, I'd have to bring the base game with me to Gen Con. And all the games I bring to Gen Con, I'm giving away. So
I might have a couple to add to your stack. I was unpacking today, and I was like, well, I don't know if this is going to stay in my collection. I will.
Yeah. I think the room we're in for the podcast will hold 50 people. If we get fully 50 people, I still think everyone will go home with a game.
That's crazy. That's what you did last year. And yeah. I thought, oh, well, next year it won't be so bad because, you know, we've given away so many of his games. He's been collecting these for years. But now I think about it, I see the packages that come for you all the time.
Yeah, you had to move 4 boxes of mine to your new house.
Yeah, on top of all of our boxes, we brought 4 of Chris's packages.
3 of them were Kickstarters. One of them was replacement cards for a Kickstarter I got a while back. So I'm excited to play those as well.
All right.
But anyway, the Network with the Executive Expansion, highly recommended. If you've played the Network without this expansion and thought, because actually Sydney wasn't really crazy about it when she demoed it the first time. With the expansion, she had a blast with it. So it really does change the game enough where it makes it something worth playing again.
All right.
That is our Kickstarter episode. Okay. Take us out of this.
Thanks for listening. And if you missed this week's topic episode on games played at Dice Tower Con 2018 or any of our other episodes, you can find them all at tabletopgametalk.com. And of course, you can subscribe to us wherever you find podcasts. You can also follow us on Facebook at Tabletop Game Talk Podcast, Twitter at Tabletop Game TLK, Chris is at Game Master Chris, Kitty is at Lawful Good Mom. If you have a Kickstarter you think we should check out, email us at podcast@tabletopgametalk.com with the subject Kickstarter. And finally, thank you to our Patreon friends of the show, Emil Jeljam, George Gia, Adam Harrison, Corey Bell, and the SGC. Until our 100th episode next week, keep playing games and having fun.
Good night.